Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
So good to be here with you. This is Josh and Amanda. We just want to share some stuff tonight, just our journey and what God's taught us along the way. And in worship, I was just like, how the limits are off now, you know? Our limits are off now. Let's just pray and Father, I just thank you so much that you're here with us. That's just everything, Jesus. We just thank you so much. Yeah, we just thank you for what you want to say. We thank you that our hearts are soft tonight. We just we give you the highest praise, God. And anything you want to say, anything you want to bring up, I just thank you for grace. And we just thank you for your grace on our words as we speak, and just let it be sweet and fresh. Amen. Yeah, so we talked about making sure we knew where we were at so we wouldn't, like, talk over each other. But it's good that we've only got one mic, so I think it's my wife's turn.
Hi, everyone. So I thought we'd just... Some of you guys don't really know us. We have two little boys, Judah and Elijah. They're 2 and 4, and then we're pregnant again with another boy due in December. Yeah, so we're building an army of men, as it seems. So we've been at Flame Tree for about 2 years now, a bit over 2 years. And we love it here, and we definitely missed everybody while we were gone. Such a beautiful family. We love being here. Like a background in my life, I grew up in a Christian home, and I was really blessed to have really good parents and brought me up in church and stuff, and just walked with Jesus most of my life, which was awesome. Always felt like I went on missions trips and stuff. I think my first one when I was like 15, and I remember like going to the radio station and like talking and going to churches and raising money. And like I think about it now, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm not one to like get in front of people and talk and stuff. But just looking back, I was like, wow, like God really had something in my heart from like a young age just to run after him, and just always had that hunger to do what he wanted me to do, you know. And then I met Josh at, we were going to another church for about 10 years and we got married, and we both had that, I think, that common passion to just run after Jesus and do whatever he wanted us to do. We always had that hunger inside of us. And so, we both just grew together, and marriage is like sometimes fun, sometimes not, you know. It's not like we've had a fairy tale marriage, but we've worked on it and we've grown together. And I think just keeping Jesus as number one has really helped us through. And then I think we just, after coming here, we really felt like Jesus just really started to work in our hearts, in our identities. We felt like, I think we got into performance and religion and stuff, you know, just trying to really like meet the mark. That's how we felt like our Christianity turned into, really like just trying to do enough, you know, to get in, or I don't know. And then coming here, like the Lord really just brought us here for healing, and he did that, you know. He just brought us to like, okay, you're enough, like just because you're you and I made you. And that was really important for us. And that kind of started the journey of like, okay, like what's the next step? We felt really like strongly that God had something for us to do. Like, you know, raising a family is awesome and all that stuff. But we were like, oh, there's more. We were always hungry for that. And I think 1 year, oh no, I'll let you tell your background first before I get into.
Yeah, so for me it was probably, you'd say, vastly different. I was a teenager and I walked away from, I guess you'd say, you know, I grew up in a Christian home. I was about 12 when I tried my first cone or smoking marijuana for the first time. And, you know, and went, just went a ways away. And long story short, I was at the Gold Coast working, had been in a life of just partying, and Jesus came in my room and said, he didn't say anything. It's just, it's time to come home, you know? So I just fell in love with Jesus and he transformed me, you know, not a place or a set of rules, you know, just a presence. So when God finally had said, okay, so I started going to church, fell in love with Jesus, but I quickly learned how to work for Jesus and how to not measure up, you know, as we can so easily fall into that, I don't measure up. So that was a really tough time. And when we came here, I just fell in love with the place, but it was still so hard, you know, like you really develop a bad mindset when your perception of God and how he sees you is not good enough, you know? So, when Christmas, I don't know when it was a few, 2 years ago now, 2016, was listening to a podcast and God just said, I want you to do Bethel for 3 years. So, a bit of background of, what it was like for me there. I was, probably in the hardest place of my life with, just depression and anxiety. And I was, smoking cigarettes and, you know, not getting drunk, but drinking beer too much, you know, every day. And for God's, call on my life to be in that stage, it really taught me about grace, really taught me about his mercy, because he just sees straight through that, and he just sees the heart of a son that he loves. Like Joel was saying this morning when Sam and Luke got up, and it's just you kids can mess up and walk up on the stage when you shouldn't, but I just see straight through that, my heart of love doesn't change. So that was basically leading up to that point when God told me that this is what I want you to do. It was probably one of the darkest times in my life. So God's grace is amazing. And we can just rest in his grace over us. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to tell the story of getting to Bethel and stuff. So I think it was just a really inconvenient time to go, because we just brought a house and we just had our second son, and I was actually finding it tough as a mum because my other son had really bad eczema and allergies and a new baby, and I just wasn't dealing well, and Josh was not doing great, Josh heard that call to go, and I think we kind of we'll see what happens kind of thing, just put that on the back burner. I think I remember we went and saw Joel and Ginny, because I think it was the start of 2017, we just were we feel like something's happening, but we don't know what. We've got all these things that we feel like God's kind of saying, but what do we do? And I think I remember Joel just saying, look, that's all just on the road, you've got signs, and, you know, you just got to be ready for whenever God speaks, then you jump out and step out kind of thing. So okay, we'll just keep going. And then one day I was just having a rest, and I really felt God just say to me, what is stopping you from stepping out and doing what is ever on your heart? And he said, what would you do if money wasn't an issue? And I was I think we'd really love to go to Bethel, and we really felt like God was on that. And so I was like, oh, okay. And I remember I had, like, God brought to memory a dream I'd had like a little bit earlier of like this big white building. And I was like, oh, mate, like I'd never seen what the actual Bethel building looked like. And so I was like, oh, well, just maybe I'll like go on Google images and see what it looks like. And I looked on it and it was exactly what I saw in my dream. And it was just like God just dropped into my spirit. That's it. That's like, that's what I want you guys to do. And so I was like, oh, okay. And we looked at like, they've got a Worship You school, which is a 2-week school in summer. And I thought, oh, maybe that's it. Like, that seems doable with, you know, 2 kids and a mortgage and let's do that. And so we applied for that and we got accepted. And we're like, okay, yeah, we're doing it. That was a little bit scary, but we're like, okay, yeah, that's it. And then we had some friends just say, oh, we want to FaceTime you, like out of the blue. Some friends from our other church we'd kind of keep in contact with. And they said, oh, we really feel like we need to pledge you this amount of money. And it was like way more than what we needed for just the 2 weeks. And I was like, oh, that kind of triggered in us like what God had originally said to Josh a little bit of time ago, like 3 years. And so we thought, oh, maybe we're just doing the easy option and doing, you know, 2 weeks to kind of, you know, it's easy. And so we just prayed about it. And I remember just praying about it. And I actually really didn't want to go for 3 years. And I remember talking to Ginny and praying one day with her. And someone from the prophetic team came over and Ginny's like, oh, I'm not going to tell you what we're praying about, but can you pray? I don't know if you remember that. And Maura gave me the word. Like, she's like, oh, I feel like you're going in one direction, but like God's saying, okay, let's turn around and go another direction, and that you're going to step out like Indiana Jones does in a certain part of the movie where there's nothing there, and he steps out and then a bridge is there under his feet. And I was like, okay, God, I think we need to do 3 years. And so we're like, okay, let's do that. And really, it was just a step at a time. You know, we were just like, okay, God, whatever. Like, we'll put the application in. We'll just go, okay, we'll see what happens. And he kind of just came through every bit of the way. Like, we had a mortgage, no savings. We're just like, okay, 2 kids, we'll see what happens. And, yeah, he really came, like, every step of the way he came through. And so we're like, okay, looks like we're going to go. And we knew we had to put our house up for rent and stuff. And so we were handing our keys over and we hadn't even paid tuition fees and all that kind of stuff, which is a little bit scary. And I think having that in the back of our mind, you know, like, oh, we've got 2 kids and all this stuff, like, is this stupid kind of thing? But we always went back to, like, Hebrews 11, really, when Abraham, like, he left what he knew for something that, like, God had told him that he was going somewhere that he didn't even know where he was going. Like, we were like, okay, we can do this. Like, God's called us to do this and he's going to come through. Do you want to do the next bit?
Yeah, so for me, I was at work one day. And we'd talked about going to Bethel and applied for backing up. We'd talked about it and it just sat on the shelf. And for a long time, God had been building in us like this desire to just follow Him, no matter what it looks like. And speaking over us things that we're called to do. So it shouldn't be a surprise, but I guess it was a surprise when God said that. So we'd talked about it and it sat on the shelf, and one day I'm at work and Amanda rings me and said, like, we've got to talk. And I just knew in my heart, and she said, I think we're going to go to Worship You. And I was like, okay, let's go to Worship You. And in the back of my mind, knowing full well that we were just like compromising what God was saying to do, but it was with, yeah, just knowing that surely God understands that I'm a father of 2 and I have a wife and a mortgage. So anyway, we went down this path, and yeah, like Amanda said, we had friends who Skyped us and said, this is what we want to give you. And, you know, they pledged in faith, like, enough for the year. And instantly, in my heart, I was just so arrested by the Holy Spirit that all those words from when I was a little boy that he just, like, encourages you with and says, you're my son, you're going to do amazing things. Like, you're going to get out and change this world. And you're going to live as a champion. And it's like I realized in that moment how much I just disregarded it as like trying to build myself up. So yeah, we have this moment. And when that happened, I knew instantly, okay, we're going to apply for worship, for BSSM, which is Bethel Supernatural School of Ministries. So we do that. And I'm keen as mustard. I'm like, yeah, let's do it. I'm going to quit my job and I'm going to start renovating the house and it'll be fine. God will supply everything. And like, you know, we'd never stepped out like that before. So I think maybe a week went past and I realized that maybe that wasn't a good thing to tell my boss. Hey, do you reckon I could just be on casual, you know, when... Because we had to renovate our house and get it ready to rent. So that was a big undertaking. So we organised it, and I think it was like 3 months out, I went to casual. I was like the foreman, supervisor, I'm an electrician. And so as soon as I went to casual, the boss really didn't have any work for me. So it was an undertaking. And in the like space in my head where I was at, I wasn't... I'm in love with Jesus and this is so easy and I can, you know, I was really struggling through things in my life. I just kept at it and he just provided the whole way. And, you know, those moments in life where it's not fun, but you know this needs to happen. I just realized so much. And looking back, how much he just has grace for us, you know. One thing I learned out of that was that, like, looking at my sons, and in no way do I expect my 4-year-old son to be a 20-year-old man before his time. There's a problem if it takes him 40 years to act like a 20-year-old man. But he has so much grace for us, and he's not expecting us to walk and run before we've actually learned how to crawl. And he just loves us to take steps. And even just like, you know, I was watching like little Aaron last night trying to roll over, like we were all like championing him along. And it's just like so cool to see him roll. Like, you know, if you saw a 20-year-old guy roll, it's like, oh, wow, that's pretty weird. But for a little baby to do it, it's amazing. And sometimes we have to start like that. And so for me, we renovated our house on no income, and we were pushing through. I think we still were paying off our car and our mortgage was late every time. And it was a stretch and it wasn't fun, but we're at a stage in our life where God had impressed on us long enough that we weren't going to stick to the normal anymore, and we weren't going to come under the lies that you're not going to go anywhere. So we just were determined to make our stance and to go there. And I think it was 2 weeks out. So we renovated the house. We got it rented. We handed over the keys. We still didn't have flights or tuition or anywhere to live. We basically had nothing planned, but it was like that step of faith, you know? Like, I think God just kept saying to my heart, if you create the space, I'll fill it. If you take a step, then I'll fill it, you know? And I think that's what faith looks like. You never get to see the full picture ahead of time, but you take a step, and God's going to fill it. You know, if that's, you know, when God speaks and he says to go, he doesn't say to go without, you know, nothing in that word. You know, when he's spoken, it's impossible for it to be anything else, which is so good to rest on, you know, that in that word that he speaks is everything you need to accomplish it. And I love, like, I'm probably jumping ahead, but I just love the fact that, you know, when we go, you know, say God says, I want you to go to this nation and I want you to start this ministry, and it seems so ridiculous and I have no money and I'm doing this stuff, he, like, in that word, it's not whether everything lines up, you know, like people say you need your ducks in a row. Nothing's going to line up ahead of time. It's like when you step out, then God fills it. And it's like, it's so good to rest in that truth that his word has everything encompassing to fulfill it. So we, can I go to Reading? Can I jump to Reading? Yeah. So we got on our flight with $300 in our bank account and a week in a motel, and like by no means did the hotel look like the pictures did. You know, like you had to wear shoes inside because they never mopped it. And, you know, there was like all kinds of like great people, you know, smoking drugs in the car park and partying all night. And I just remember it was really, really hot. Reading is ridiculously hot. It was like 45 degrees and smoky, and we're in two beds in one room. And my son Elijah, who's our youngest, he had diarrhea. So that was just like, we're just having a great time across the other side of the world with little to no money and no future prospect. And I like came outside one day and just like blasted with the heat and felt like the Israelites did. Like, and I just like, I was grumbling in my heart, like, Jesus, this sucks. Like, what have you brought us to, you know? But instantly when I thought that, I was so arrested by the Holy Spirit that's like, that sounds like the Israelites, you know, when I brought them out into freedom and they just started to grumble. And I was like, wow, you're so right. So sometimes it's not going to be sweet, but it's freedom all the same, right? Yeah, so anyway, I'm jumping ahead.
That's all right. Yeah, so that was not the funnest, like, time, I think, for us. We were like, yeah, we felt, I think sometimes you have this perception of stuff and it doesn't work out like you think it will. So I think we were like, oh, God, like we kind of thought that we'd get to the airport and maybe someone would meet us for like, I don't know, $1,000 or something, or like bring us a car or something. And every day we're like, okay, yep. It really was hard. Like I just felt like, oh, man, you know, we'd get to school and everyone would be loving it and we'd just like barely get in, like just feeling like we're crawling in because we're tired. The kids weren't sleeping and they were finding it really hard to adjust, and we hadn't had childcare for them, so we're like, okay, well, we're just like juggling school and that. And we did actually, and we weren't sure how we were going to get an apartment, because they normally ask Bethel students to have like a 3-month or 6-month deposit, and we didn't, you know, we had maybe $300, so we were like, okay. And we had a contact, some of our people in our revival group that lived in Reading said, oh, there's a space available in our apartment block. Maybe you could contact them. And so we contacted them, and she seemed, the property manager seemed like, okay, you can come and have a look. And so we kind of managed, oh, I think in between that we got a car. We went to, there's people that lease cars to students, and so we called him, and it was funny because I didn't go, Josh just went, and he was like in the car going to pick up this car, And he's like, okay, so how much like will I owe you? And the guy's like, oh, about 1,500. And Josh is like, oh my gosh, like just his heart sank.
So I go through the process of getting the insurance and had read nothing on the website about what I'm responsible for. I don't know why. So I get in the car with him and he's like, yep, okay, really nice guy. His name's Mike. He's been there for like 40 years. Real like just father, you know. And he goes, so how much are you going to pay me today? And I'm like, thinking, you know, it's a monthly lease, so it was like $250 a month. We thought, you know, we've got a month to come up with $250, that should be fine. And so he asks me, and I say, so how much do I owe you today? And he's like, ah, yep, so insurance, adding it all up, about $1,500. And I just like, my heart sank. I'm in the car with this guy, and he obviously saw it on my face and had mercy. He goes, well, how much are you capable of today? And and I'm like, you know, okay, let me just have a look at the bank account, knowing full well there's nowhere near enough. And so, you know, I'm like, ah, okay, so I've got this, yeah, I've got like 300 in there. And he's like, okay, so what about food? And I'm like, well, that's food. Well, what about rent? And I'm like, that's rent too. You know, I've never had feelings like this before. I've worked, you know, to pay my bills. And so it was, you know, he goes, okay, let's just get there and pick up the car and we'll talk about it. And man, like that man deserves so much honor. And we get there and I choose the car and he goes, listen, let's just not worry about it today. It'll be fine. So, you know, we just, I don't know if he normally does that, but I was just thanking God for favor and mercy, you know. It was an interesting time. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the car story. yeah, so we go to look at this place. We have the car so we can go to this place in between, like, our school and stuff like that, which we missed a lot of it at the start. But yeah, so we went and looked at the place and it was like, okay, we had a good feeling because I think we went and looked at this other place. It was way out and it was a bit dodgy and the guy was asking for like way too much. So like, no, we don't feel like peace about that. So we went and saw this other little two-bedroom apartment. We like, oh, we feel like peaceful about this. Let's just, I know we don't have an income because they need proof of income, but let's just put an application in anyway because we need a place. By that stage, I think we're staying in some friends that we met there. They had a two-bedroom apartment, so we're all sleeping in the same room. It was getting a bit much. And, yeah, so we put the application in and the next day, or even that same day, we were approved. And we're like, oh, my gosh, thank you, Jesus. But, like, obviously it's unfurnished, and so we're like, okay, so we've got a house. We got a mattress from Walmart for Judah and a porta-cot for Elijah. But we didn't have a bed and we, you know, don't have anything at all except for your suitcases. And so we're like, okay, we rock up to school. We got a nanny, employ her by faith. Like, she was a Bethel student too, so I guess she knew the kind of lifestyle of faith. And, yeah, we get to school, like, just a mess, or just holding it together, really. Like, God, like, why are we here? This is really not fun. And a lady from our RG group, which is just like we have groups in school of like kind of like home groups kind of thing. And we talked to her maybe once. She was an older lady and she came up and just gave us an envelope. And so we go and sit down and open it. And it's like $1,000. And I just like broke down because I think that was the first time that I think maybe I was pushed to my very like limit of like, okay, we don't have money for food. We don't have a bed to sleep on tonight. Like, yeah, I was kind of pushed to as far as I'd been pushed and just knowing. And that was just like, oh, you do care. Like, I know you do care, God, but that was the first time, like, I actually really felt his love and, like, his, I don't know, like, he just, his, yeah, just his delight over us. It's like, it's okay. Like, I do have you. You know, it's okay. So that kind of was the whole journey pretty much of the 9 months. It was getting to the end of money, and then someone would just come up and give us money, and that same lady had a dream with Elijah in it. Like, she was an older lady in a nursing home, and this is the dream she told us. There was an older, like a 20-year-old gentleman or something, she said, came up and was like wheeling her around and taking care of her, and she said, "Oh, why are you doing this for me?" And he said, "Because you looked after my parents and me." And she looked up, and it was Elijah, our youngest son. And she was like, "Yeah." And then, so we felt to give you this money, and we opened the envelope. It's like $5,000. We're just like, "Oh my gosh!" You know, just it was a really cool journey to be on, and being at school, we're just really blessed with just being in that culture of, I guess, having the time to really focus on Jesus and focus on, like, who we are as sons and daughters, and get that really solid and strong. We really loved being there. We felt so honoured to be there, and for God to, like, provide for us the whole time. You know, we didn't have to go into debt or sell our house or anything like that. Our kids were provided for. We never missed a meal. We were just so blessed to be there, and God really took us on a journey of trust and identity. We both grew, really a lot in that. Do you want to share on anything else about that?
So school year for me started out quite difficult, really. It was so counterculture to my, like, inward workings, which was so good, exactly what I needed, but offensive all the same, you know, when people are really walking in sonship and learning about it, it can be so sucky when you don't, because it just brings up all kinds of things. And I realized how much that my filter and interpretation of the gospel was condemnation. And, like, everything that God said, and I receive a lot of prophetic words and dreams, and God's, like, reiterating, like, who I'm called to be, and like he does to all of us. He shows us in his word amazing things about who we're called to be. But when I read it and when I heard it, it was just like, it's just showing me who I'm never going to be. And it's torment to me, because this is just way too hard to see out. Like, and so I was really taken back by, like, it's such a journey of identity, everything that we go through. And what God wants us to learn is, it's like, we are sons and daughters no matter what. So as I was, like, thinking about this and, like, trying to sum up my school year, it really arrested me that, let's just go. Has anyone got a Bible? I know we've just been talking, but Romans 10:17 is amazing, and I'd never seen this before. This is not the this is definitely not the version that I know, but it says faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And for me, like, that has always just said to me that I need to hear more word, and I need to change who I am to have enough faith, because faith comes by hearing. But as I was, like, thinking about my school year and how I learnt that my interpretation of gospel was just really from a condemnation bias, like, God just spoke to me when I read that this week, that it's actually showing us who we are, not showing us what we should be and how we need to work harder to get to that. It's actually saying, like, everything that Jesus has already said is actually who we are right now. And it's not something that we have to aspire to. Of course, we grow in what he says and like learn to walk out who we are. But it's not actually, like, the gospel is actually a revelation and a revealing of our identity right now, which is the sweetest, like, most freeing thing, because, you know, we get to abandon our way of thinking, you know, like it says that, like, it's death, like the way it seems right to a man is death. And it seems right that when you're feelings and emotions about yourself and the world around you and everything that's shown to you, it seems right that if you don't measure up, then you're just not going to measure up. But the beautiful thing about the gospel is we just get to abandon what we think and abandon how we feel, and we get to like press in and lean into like the revelation of what God says of who we are. So like just, I mean, it probably... it's taken me till now to really figure that out and articulate that in my heart. But it was definitely a year and a progression of growth to get to this point. And it was so necessary to like go through the hard things and that like revealed what I was thinking and why I was thinking it. But like that's like such a beautiful truth that I love the thought and the picture of us just like leaning into his truth, giving way. Like I was walking to school one day and I saw this give way sign, and they call them yield in America, which is just like such a sweet, it's way better than give way. Like yield is like, wow. And God just like spoke to my heart and he said, that's what it looks like. You just yield to my truth and let me go first. And I was like, oh, Jesus. You know, like, it's like there's so much freedom in the gospel, and I know it's easy to say, and I'm probably just catching up to everybody else, but I love the thought that the gospel is a revelation of who I am. And when faith comes by hearing, because, like, when I read the word, I don't read about who I should be. Faith comes by hearing, because I read about who I already am, about what Jesus has already done and paid for. So that just like, that shift in my thinking was like so, so good. And I encourage you to just take time and inventory of like what you're thinking and what your process is and how you interpret the word. Do you allow the word to speak to you and show you who you are? Or do you like look at the word and go, I'm just not good enough right now, Jesus, and I'm sorry. But he's not sorry. He gave it all. Yeah. So that, like, in a nutshell, is my first year. Super hard, but amazing. And yeah. That's all I have to say.
So I'll share. There was, I think, just one of the main like scriptures that stood out to me throughout the year was, and I stood on, is Hebrews 11. I don't know if you guys want to turn to it. You can. I've got the Passion Translation, so it might be a bit different to you guys. I'll start in verse 8, and then, yeah. It says, faith motivated Abraham to obey God's call and leave the familiar to discover the territory he was destined to inherit from God. So he left with only a promise, and without even knowing ahead of time where he was going, Abraham stepped out in faith. He lived by faith as an immigrant in his promised land, as though it belonged to someone else. And then I skipped to verse 10. It says, his eyes of faith were set on the city with unshakable foundations, whose architect and builder is God himself. Sarah's faith embraced God's miracle power to conceive, even though she was barren and was past the age of childbearing. For the authority of her faith rested in the one who made the promise, and she tapped into his faithfulness. I just love like that last bit about Sarah, that like the authority of her faith, it says, rested in the one who made the promise, and she tapped into the faithfulness, in his faithfulness. I love like how it says, like her faith rested. Like, so I think sometimes it can be a striving thing, and I've like fallen into it so many times of like getting so stressed and worked up about stuff. But like he actually has grace for us to rest in our faith and in our stepping out. He doesn't want us, like he doesn't call us to something that we can't do. Like when he calls us to do something, his grace is there for us to do it. And I love that. And the way she did it was she tapped into his faithfulness. So we don't have to use our own strength. Like we tap into his strength, and that's what empowers us to do it. That was like a really key verse that kept me going through it. And I think I just learned that, like Josh said, like what I really lived under my whole life was very much like a workspace, God and doing enough for him and that kind of thing, but really tapping into like his love. And even in worship tonight, I was just like, wow, God, like he's so good. He's such a good father. And just without even realizing, my thought process would always be like, oh, well, like even when we were there and we didn't have the money, I thought, oh, maybe we're not like praying enough or doing enough declarations. Like maybe there's some more like faith declarations we need to find, or maybe we need to be like giving what we don't have, you know, like just all these things. And I was like, hang on a minute, like that's not our father. Like that's not what I would do to my sons. Like I would freely give them, you know, what they need and not ask for anything in return. And that's who he is. Like he's such a good father. He doesn't require, like, want us to meet all these certain marks in order to bless us. Like, he just wants to bless us because he wants to bless us. And so I think I really learned that too. And I just wanted to encourage you guys tonight with that. And also, like, to dream big. And, you know, like God said to me, like, what would you do if money wasn't an option? And I feel like that can be such a limitation that we put on our dreams that God's placed in our hearts, or this, you know, the like, you know, the area of life you might be at. You might be, you know, retiring, or you might be a mum, or, you know, you might be just starting out a business. You know, we can often limit God by those things, but his kingdom, the kingdom of God, works so much differently to this world and this kingdom. And I think learning to live out of that, okay, what does God say about this? And just learning that, like, and I feel like I'm still learning that. It's funny coming back, like I was like, oh yeah, you know, I feel like I knew it was going to be like, but honestly, like it's been really hard to come back and live with family and be pregnant with two little boys running around and Josh going to work every day. I've been really tired, and I've like been like thinking, oh man, like what's happened? I've been at like this school of ministry for 9 months and I feel so deflated. But I like, it's just like he's not even up there, like, well, not up there, but he's not even thinking that. Like he's like, come on, like it's okay, like just pick it up, like I'm here for you. And I think it was just hard to think about going back, really. Like, I know a lot of people go and some people think, oh, you're just going because everyone's going. But really, like, I was like, God, I would be happy if we could just stay here and I could have my baby here, and, like, it's a lot more comfortable kind of thing. And so I was like, okay, I don't know if I could do a whole nother year of stretching. And so we just left it in God's hands to go back. And even up until like a week ago, because we had like tuition due and all that stuff. And it just comes through at the last minute, which are like, duh, okay, I guess we'll go. Like, and then like I had to change my visa, which meant a trip to Melbourne and all this stuff. We're like, okay, well, maybe we won't get my visa. And we get to the interview and she's like, oh, well, you haven't got these documents. So I'm like, okay, well, what does that mean? And she's like, well, you pretty much got it, but, you know, you just got to send stuff in. And we're like, okay. next step. And then we're like, flights. Like, okay, well, maybe we just won't get flights. And then we, like, for some reason got this money from Centrelink. It was what we needed for flights. And so we're like, okay, we're going. And then, yeah, so we're just like, okay. Yeah, so it's, yeah, it's just life is such a journey, and I think he just wants us to trust him. And it, like, it's just really all about Jesus, isn't it? Yeah. Like, just living how he wants us to live, and he just loves us. We're all like such, you know, such loved sons and daughters, and he just wants us to know that, like, how much he loves us, and he really has the best for us. Did you want to say something?
Yeah. Yeah. So I just want to really take a couple of minutes, not too much longer, but like the story of Abraham just like has really impacted my life, and really like mulled over it for like since before we left until now. Like he's amazing, and I love, like, he's the father of our faith. You know, he's given us a picture of faith. So I'm just going to read it again. Hebrews 11:8. Faith motivated Abraham to obey God's call and to leave the familiar, to discover the territory he was destined to inherit from God. So he left with only a promise and without even knowing ahead of time where he was going. I think, like... I mean, we've all moved house, like, surely, you know. I've never moved house without having another address, like, to put my stuff, you know. It's, like, it's amazing to think that this father of our faith, who is a picture of like, what faith before God looks like, is actually showing us that, like, faith is quite possibly not going to look logical at all. And that it's in the going, you know. Like here, he says, Before I say that, I really feel like, you know, it's so easy for us to put faith into a physical move or something physical, as in, this is what I want you to do. But this faith, like, leaning into, like, his truth over us and what he says is probably most importantly a leaning into who he says we are. And that faith, like, the faith that it takes to lean into what he says about us, not just what he wants to do through us, is illogical, because my sin and my thoughts and my feelings and emotions and my abilities don't measure up to what he says. And that's the beauty of faith, because it doesn't need to look logical. It doesn't need to make sense. So, like, if you think about this scripture as in how we lean into our identity, it says he left with only a promise. So we get this promise from God and, like, from Jesus, of what he's paid for and who he says we are, you know, loved sons of daughters, accepted, and, you know, greater things you will do than I. And you'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover, you'll raise the dead. Like, leaning into that promise doesn't look logical, but we leave this place of our old thinking and our old way of doing things. And we leave that place, even when we don't know what it looks like to be to where we're supposed to go. But we just get to leave it behind and take a step each day. You know, it's easy when God gives you a big picture to say, I'm going to surrender to that picture. But it's like the day-to-day that you surrender and how you live and how you think is where it really, like, comes down to it. So... and I love, like, what Amanda was talking about in verse 11, how Sarah's faith embraced God's miracle power to conceive when even though she was barren, she was past the age of childbearing, for the authority of her faith rested in the one who made the promise, and she tapped into his faithfulness. See, like, Sarah was able to give birth to something that she physically shouldn't have been capable of. And how beautiful is that? A picture of what happens when we put our faith in Christ, that when it doesn't look like it should happen, it happens because we put our faith in his promise, and that creates righteousness, that creates right standing with God, because he says, yeah, like, you're abandoning what you think and you're placing your trust in what I say. And I wanted to, like, encourage us and challenge us in, like, that thought that, like, will you allow him to be Lord of every area of your life? Will you allow him to, like, show you who you are? Will you allow him, well, like, will you surrender and go where he says when it doesn't look logical? And will you surrender and be who he says you are when it doesn't look logical? Because, you know, yesterday I did this and last year and I did that, and from my childhood I've been super hurt and so I can't process life properly. You know, it's like we just get to leave that behind and we get to let him be Lord and yield to what he says and let him go first. I just encourage you, like, the limits are off, you know. For us, like, taught me so much about God's grace to call me when I was in, like, a super hard time in my life and just to say, I know who you are, son, and this is what I'm calling you to. So there is, like, nothing standing in your way. There is, like, nothing now that can stand in your way. And what Christ has done is enough, and who he says you are is the truth, and what he's spoken over you, that is the truth. And where you're going and who you're called to be is the truth. And he's just saying, yeah, like, just surrender your thoughts and surrender your feelings and emotions. And, like, just look at me and you'll see that, like, nothing is impossible. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Let's pray. Yeah. Yeah, Father, we just thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for your truth. We thank you that your truth, like, I am grateful, Jesus, that your truth doesn't look logical, because logic it requires work and it requires strain and it requires a works-based thought life. I just thank you that we just get to abandon our thoughts of ourselves, and look at who you say we are in this word. I just thank you for your beauty, Jesus. We thank you for your amazing heart, Jesus. We just surrender to you in every way. We just allow you to be Lord of our life in every area. Yeah, we yield to you, Jesus. Yeah, amen.